God's work.
Good morning. I can begin?
Yes.
Good morning. I'm Cecilia Mawindu. I'm a community mobilizer and a sustainability coordinator at Internews, and I'm also a journalist. So today I'm going to start with a story. People love stories. People relate to stories. So there's a small village in the heart of East Africa. Why did I choose East Africa? I'm from East Africa, so yes. And they are a group of journalists, and they are dedicated journalists, and they want to do an investigative piece about a certain river where bodies are dumped every day from different parts of their country. But for them to do this, it being an investigative story, they need to use safety tools. They need to use encryption tools, because they are a group of 10 journalists, and of course they will be communicating with each other. So they need to use safety tools like encryption tools, for example, use of Mavelope. They are going to use a tool like Bayonet, whereby they are going to document and all that. But unfortunately for them, that those tools are in languages that they can't use. So enter the hero of our story, localization. So what is localization? But before I go to localization, let me run to the punchline. Kiswahili is spoken by 150 million to 200 million people around the world. Basically, most of the people who speak Swahili are concentrated in the African region, especially the East African region, from Burundi, Congo, Rwanda, Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. So, as I said, what is localization? Localization is adapting of tool into different languages. And localization is not just about translation. It's to be able to translate that information to fit the culture and the context of the community or the language that you are translating for. So, what is the importance of localization in open source tools? I go back to the story I was talking about. This journalist can't be able to use this tool. So chances are they might start doing the story, and along the way, the information is intercepted, or they even put themselves in harm's way. So localization is very important because it makes it accessible to a wider audience. One of the things under the SUSTAIN project, which is being run by Internews right now, and SUSTAIN stands for Sustaining Safety Tools with Analytics, Networking, and Insight. We are talking about sustainability. And one of the things that has come out among the 6 tools that we are dealing with, they want to expand their user base. But one of the key to expand their user base is have them in languages where people can be able to understand. So when you localize these tools, you give people an opportunity, especially marginalized community, you give them an opportunity to be able to use these tools. And also, it's also a way of bringing in different end users who can bring in different angles. So what are the challenges of localization? Funding, of course. Funding. You know, we keep saying funding and we sound like a broken record, but I think we can't say it in any other way. Funding. So funding is an issue when it comes to localization, and also lack of enough volunteers. There is an organization called Localization Lab where they localize tools in different languages. I was part of localization at some point, and I saw there were so many people who would volunteer from different parts of the world. But the other day I was speaking to Irene, who is in the room today, and she was telling me about, also there's the privilege of being a volunteer, because some people would want to volunteer, but there's no time to do that, you know. So lack of enough volunteers is also another issue. And also something also that has come up in localization is there are some words which you can't translate or localize into different languages. For example, in Swahili, when we localize some tools, there are some words we just leave them like that. So you find also the people you are localizing for, that is one word, they look at the tool, yes, they understand what you're saying, but there's a word that is not translated, and you find people wondering, what does this mean? So also that's another issue. So what are some success stories that have been there when it comes to localization of tools in Swahili? There are so many. There are several tools that have been translated in Swahili. There is a Swahili community. Well, it's not as big as we would want it, but it is there. There is a Safe Sister Guide. A Safe Sister Guide has been created by Internews under a program called Safe Sister. I'm a product of Safe Sister. Safe Sister is fellowship where they train women, especially from the sub-Saharan region, on the issue of digital safety. They train us to be training TOTs. We train people on digital safety. So Safe Sister Guide has been translated in Swahili, and I can attest to it because I know I've trained using Swahili. One time I was training in my village, and it was such an easy thing because we speak in Swahili in my village, and I could see the girls getting very excited because now they could be able to understand the thing on online safety because now there was a guide in Swahili. Then they spent America Online Harassment Manual, which we translated into Swahili in 2022. And I have seen especially journalists from Zanzibar, Tanzania use this harassment manual because now it's in Swahili. They have been able to contextualize what is in the manual. So there are so many success stories, but I picked these two because I have trained using both of them and I have seen how it has been able to have an impact. So how do we get involved in localization? There's so many opportunities you can involve yourself in localization. You can decide to be a volunteer. If you're too busy, you can try to recruit someone who is being able to, who has the time. Also, you can be able to provide feedback. Feedback is like pulling teeth. Getting feedback from people is so hard. So when you can be able to get feedback from people, help to get feedback, especially on this tool. For example, we have localized Safe Sister Guide in Swahili. Swahili is not standard. You find the Swahili the Tanzanians speak is not there is some difference. The Swahili the people from Congo speak is so different. So how do we able to make that tool that has been localized in Swahili be able to be used in Congo, in Tanzania? So as a person, if you're reading this document and you see maybe there is a word that can be changed, you can be able to provide feedback. And then contributing to translation, there are several translation tools. The one we used to use at localization is called Transifex. So you can also decide to be able to, for example, also provide feedback on the translation tool. And also, if you can be able to connect these tools with funders who can able to fund the localization, that is one way of getting involved. And also community. So when we come to, in our tell the story we're talking about, if they don't solve this problem, then what happens to that story? For example, if they're from an authoritarian regime, as I said, they could be attacked by the government or the people who are doing whatever they are doing. So how can we also rally our community when it comes to the issue of localization? Also, sometimes we localize tools and you find people are not using those tools. So you've localized it in Swahili, it's not being used. So also, how can you put the information out there and say, hey, this tool, Bayanat, is in Swahili now. You can be able to use it. Bayanat does ABC, so community-driven efforts. When I'm coming to my conclusion, so localization makes the technology and digital resources available not only in Swahili, but in different languages. It empowers individuals to participate in the digital world that we are in today. If there is anything COVID-19 underscored is the importance of the digital world. And then also they're able to access digital content and we are able to bridge the digital divide. Thank you so much. I'll give this opportunity to anyone who wants to ask a question. Yes.
Thanks for that. I'm new to a lot of localization, but I'm pretty new to Swahili, and we just started to say Deathroid, for example. We now have, I think, the app is now at least in Swahili.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I've noticed, like, so I know from German where you have people speak very differently, but then there's a standard German, so we'll accept the standard German as
mm-hmm.
But it's what I hear of Swahili is that there isn't, well, I mean, you just said it basically,
yeah.
But I've heard it also, that there isn't this like accepted, like government approved standard. And from my experience, the tools generally assume there's like a clear, like this is the language and you just follow that. And I'm wondering if there's anything you think that can we represent something like Swahili better, like this when this is more of a continuum than a clear standard?
So, as I said, there's the online harassment manual that we translated in 2022. What we did, we had translators from Tanzania. We had translators from the Congo. We had translators from Kenya. We are looking at the major regions where Swahili is spoken. So what we did is making sure that the people, the localizers from Tanzania are able to localize. And I know it's a lot of work, but we also said if we don't do that, then we'll find also it's a preserve of the few, maybe the Kenyans and a bit of the Tanzania. So we got localizers from different languages. I can tell you right now, if I go to the manual and I read the Congolese part, it's quite tricky because I'm from Kenya. The Swahili is quite a bit different, but we also try to make it standard whereby even if you don't understand it 100%, you can get the concept of what it's talking about. So that is one way we've tried and to beat that. Yes. Yes, Mark.
So when you are working with different dialects like this, do you find it's more effective to have each group start from English, or is it better to like translate it, say you start with Congolese Swahili and then you have people from Kenya and Tanzania work off of that, or did each group start with the manual in English and independently translate it?
Yes, that's what we did.
Okay.
From English, and then now after that, you now sit down and look at it and give feedback on it. Because as I said, we didn't want it to come out like so different, so somebody will be able to be confused. Yes. Yes, Kyle.
As a non-Swahili speaker and when working with these resources and being able to sort of pinpoint what, you know, languages, different pieces of documentation need to be translated into, what is the best way to sort of support the community whose language and, you know, context we're trying to support the translation of resources for, you know, as someone who wouldn't be able to necessarily assist with the translation, what's the best way to support that?
I think just the best way, because you're a non-Swahili speaker, is getting reviews or feedback from the Swahili speakers, that is the end users. And now the information that you are able to collect depends on who you are sharing the information to. Maybe it could be developers, maybe it could be funders. You frame it in a way that you can be able to relay the information as much as you can't speak the language. Mm-hmm. Yes. So if there are no more questions, my time is up. Yes, yes.
Well, I'm wondering if you consider doing separate Swahili for Congo instead of like Swahili somewhere else, or whether that, or, and if so, like, why you wouldn't have chosen that, or like?
Repeat your question. One of the things is also the resources, because if we were to go like fully Congolese, it would mean like having a separate, like having a separate manual. So what we are trying to do is make it standard so that any Swahili speaker can be able to understand it. And also we don't want to be able to create two, because you see now that the issue of dialects, especially in Africa, there's so many. You know, even in Congo, you find the Swahili being spoken in Kinshasa is different from another town. So we didn't want to bring all those things because it would be like opening a Pandora's box. So we tried to make it in, yes. So, yes.
Thank you. I'm curious about how do you just collect the feedback from the Swahili language user? Just what kind of mechanism or?
Okay, so one of the mechanisms that we do that is also targeting people. Like, for example, as I said, my hometown, we speak a lot of Swahili. So targeting people directly. Also, as a journalist, you are able to put information out there, say, I'm providing feedback for ABCD. Or when you are doing a training, and you are doing a training in Swahili, after you do the training, you also get feedback from those people. Yes.
Okay.
So being targeted, yes. So thank you so much. The floor is yours.